Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
His words program Patriots talk across the country.
If he goes in on Sunday and performs well, it's not him overcoming a great hand issue. And if he doesn't, then there's no hand issue to point to. It's just not executed.
Get up to date on the latest Patriot storylines with Tommy Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Now on Dale and Keefe.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is NBC Sports Boston Patriots reporter Tom E. Curran. Tom is brought to you by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Dale? How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. The Greg Hill Show this morning had a bit of a scoop with the reporting that Stephon Gilmore's house is for sale. You have written about this on NBC Sports Boston as well. The details of the sale were interesting as well, as all offers have to be in by 5 p.m. on November 3rd. Which is election day, I know, but it's also the NFL trading deadline day.
Yeah, it's, the house went up for sale. We were able to confirm that the home, and it's weird. We're in this thing where you don't want to get into like feeling like you're doxing a private individual, but also at the same, by the same token, it is news. So I don't want to get into the listing itself, but the home that is listed does belong. It's listed under Gilmore's spouse, and it went online last night, and it expires, I would presume, since they have a deadline for it, next Tuesday right after the trade deadline. So what that indicates to me is, hey, if they're going to move us, well, then we got to be ready to move. And if they're not, then we'll take this thing right off the market. Phil Perry said to me, now this is, just talk to me, goes, is there any chance this could be a ruse, a counterfeit? And I was like, well, I mean, that's would be aggressive. It's under a Coldwell Banker. It's an MLS number. Mm. But I suppose in 2020, you still got to stay loose.
That's right. You do. Now, I have a multi-part question for you, Tom.
Ooh.
So let's dig into this a little bit. Could you give me the likelihood of each guy being traded? Stephon Gilmore, Joe Tooney, Julian Edelman. Sort of the likelihood from each guy. And then also, what would be a realistic return for each guy?
I would say on Gilmore. Can I say most, middle, least?
No, sure.
I can't.
Whatever, however you want to do it.
I'd say Gilmore would be 50-50 on being dealt. I would say Tooney would be 15, and I think that Edelman would probably be close to 7 or 8% likelihood. Return for Gilmore, if you're the Patriots, you kind of have to insist on a one, and that's why I think it's only 50-50 that he would be dealt. You can't take a third or a second for a player like that, in my estimation. And you still have plenty of time if you are balking at the notion of his salary for next year and the possibility that he may want to raise given his resume and what other players at the position are being paid. You can still get out from under that, whether it be at the draft or in August. With Tooney, I just don't think it's going to be a seismic difference for a guard that you're going to spend all that money on if you're the acquiring team. So he'd probably have to be a fourth-ish. And then with Edelman, I just don't think the market's going to be huge. He's clearly hurt. He's certainly affordable, but I just he's a tougher fit than he is when he's here in New England.
So that was those were all the parts?
That was all the parts. He answered them all. Yeah, I like
question.
That.
Yeah,
he answered them all.
Rock solid
That's
answer.
That's nice.
Well done, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
So, Tom, I just saw a few moments ago that Doug Kide tweeted from whatever portion of Patriots practice you guys are open to or welcome at, et cetera, that N'Keal Harry is not present. Neither is Carl Davis. Oh, when will he finally get healthy?
Kyle!
Come on, Kyle, get out there. Sean McDermott somewhere is breathing a sigh of relief. But so if N'Keal Harry's not there, could we honestly be looking at the most anemic and challenged passing offense in the NFL, going up to Buffalo with possibly 50-mile-an-hour swirling winds in a do-or-die must-win game in hopes that maybe Isaiah Zuber or Christian Wilkerson get elevated to the game day squad and can make a difference to beat the Bills?
Okay, I feel like we just went right past Jacoby Four catches 60 yards Myers for no good damn reason. What the hell is wrong with this?
Yeah, good point.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean, good point. Why do I doubt him with his 4.7 speed?
We spend a lot of time, or spent a lot of time last year, talking about Tom Brady's surly attitude and kicking rocks and moping around when the team was 8-0 and 9-0. And as I mentioned on our podcast this week, this is part and parcel of why he was so bummed out at times. This cast of characters really isn't a hell of a lot worse than last year's. Is it? I mean, maybe without N'Keal, but I mean, is he a huge rock to one side of the scale or the other? I don't think so. So yeah, this is something that Brady was the flowing dress that covered up a multitude of sins, and we're seeing it now. They're in trouble. It's not going to get a lot easier. They better not turn it over so that maybe they can get to the screen game on a little bit of a run game.
We've seen Cam Newton's performance over the last couple of weeks, and by his own admission, it's been bad. Mm-hmm. Now I would have made the change at quarterback this coming weekend. Bill is not. But if we have another of those types of performances and another embarrassing loss, is it time to cut bait with Cam Newton?
To trade him?
No, not trade him. At that point, I think you make the quarterback switch, you almost have to release him.
I don't think that you no. I think that the devil you know in Cam Newton is probably a hell of a lot more palatable than the devil you don't with Jarrett Stidham. Stidham hasn't done anything, in my estimation, Dale. This is a good, you know, just two guys over a coffee talking. I just haven't seen anything that Jarrett Stidham has yet done since he came into the NFL, save for last year's preseason, that makes me say this kid's going to be really good. So if you put him in there and he continues to turn the ball over at an alarming rate and continues to not rise to the challenge and the opportunity in a way that Tom Brady very clearly did in 2000 and 2001, I'm not talking about fully developed Tom Brady. I'm talking about chubby Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't do this, why go to him? He's not worthy of it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. My question, and I don't know if you know the answer this time, or if you've heard anything on this, but there's, of course, been books written and many stories written about the draft process as it relates to the Patriots. And, you know, there's some anecdotes out there, too, that, you know, Bill Belichick has his scouting department and they come up with all this information. And then at the last minute, he's like, you know what? I like this guy. And they're like, what? And then they end up taking, you know, a Tavon Wilson or Jordan Richards or somebody like that. We have also heard that, you know, when it comes down to offensive line in the past, Dante Scarnecchia is like, I really like Isaiah Wynn, so they take Isaiah Wynn. I think also maybe with Nate Solder that, you know, Dante had a big part in that. Have you heard anything on, and not that anybody would jump to take credit for it, but who was responsible for N'Keal Harry over Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin? Was that a scouting department pick, a Bill pick? Could Josh have even worked his way into there a little bit? Because if it's an offensive guy, have you heard anything on that one?
I have not. I have been told that there was a belief after the first round concluded that it was still not a horrendous idea to stay in the market for tight ends for some of the second round and third round guys who came off the board. There were people who said, you know what, we don't have to stop there, you know. We can keep taking more wide receivers. But that obviously did not happen.
Hmm.
You know, and the year before, there were guys on the board. Calvin Ridley, I think, was a player that attracted the attention of some folks there. I don't know who's responsible for the N'Keal Harry specifically. And as you pointed out, there's not probably going to be a lot of people raising their hand to say,
no,
that was my idea.
No, but I wonder if there's going to be anybody that's like, you know what, it wasn't my idea and it was over here. Like, I just don't know if we'll,
well,
ever
get
the answer.
Well, that sucks when you have like four people who know.
Right. Right.
That's, you know, it's harder to crack the code. Like, I was able to figure out how pissed off the entire scouting staff was when the Patriots drafted Jamie Collins. They're like, we still don't understand that. Nobody wanted him. Did he turn out to be a good player? Yeah.
Did
he get a ring here? Did he? Wait, did he?
Yes.
Yeah. When?
Yeah.
Wasn't he on the 14 team?
Yes, he was. Remember Marshawn Lynch beat him on that wheel route.
Or the 15 Super Bowl with the 14 season, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. On that team.
Fair enough. He had his tough game in 15 against Owen Daniels.
Owen Daniels smoked him. Yeah.
Tom, I have heard you absolutely castigate Jamie Collins for that getting shaked and baked by old man Daniels twice. I think I even heard you say on television and or your podcast that he single-handedly cost them that game.
I mean, two touchdowns in the first half to a guy who could barely kick the ball as far as he could throw it at that point, Peyton Manning. And twice Owen Daniels ran right past him for touchdowns. I mean, what?
Yeah, that was a hard watch.
Yeah.
That was a hard watch.
To basically the equivalent of Philip Seymour Hoffman playing basketball in a long Camp Pauly, old man Daniels.
Like Eric Alexander on Dallas friggin' Clark back in 06. There's a couple Super Bowls out there.
What are we doing?
We remember.
Oh, believe me. I see it all when I close my eyes at night right after the Asante drop in Super Bowl 42. But I digress.
Right.
But I digress. I digressed. Excuse me.
11 titles.
They robbed Tommy. He should have 13 Super Bowls. Bare minimum. I'll hang up and take your call. Tom, I want to know. I heard this. I'm not sure if it was on the program or if it was on the pod or wherever, but you guys played that Matthew Slater clip that has made the rounds about some guys actually, like, there being like a deficit or a dearth of effort, and that guys, it sounded like he wanted to say, I'm shocked because some guys actually quit on us or failed to really show up for that game. How, when they know that they need that energy to match their opponent, and when their quarterback is faltering, and you have a flying Elvis on your helmet and Bill Belichick coaches you, how could that possibly happen?
I think resignation, maybe. I mean, I'm just casting about. I couldn't get into the minds of folks. And to me, it's interesting because it seemed to me, and I talked about this with Phil on the pod, Bill is making sure that his lieutenants, i.e. his veteran players who have strong voices and are leaders, are carrying out the effort sucked. You guys were horrendous. So that Bill's not doing it himself, because right now somebody has to be good copping. And I think Bill is probably taking on that role because the roster isn't very good. Maybe that's what I'm talking about with resignation. You're getting carved up by the 24 scripted plays of Kyle Shanahan at the beginning of the game. And you're like, we're not ready for this. We're not good enough, and we're getting hammered. I mean, what are we doing? So, I mean, that's the only, and that is completely a hypothetical on the part of a tremendous flag football player.
We're talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Bill Belichick has made at least one regular season trade in 10 of the last 11 years and the last 8 years in a row. If they lose this game Sunday, is he in full-blown sell mode?
That is going to be really interesting to watch, because there's a couple of factors at play here, Dale. And one is, and I haven't heard many people talk about it, it kind of just occurred to me, you're not having a college season right now where you're able to do your normal scouting. You might not be able to do your normal scouting throughout the early part of next year. Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl's already been canceled. Combine, who knows? So you're going to be going and collecting picks for a draft in which you know way less about that class than you've ever known before. Opportunity, maybe, but also huge dice roll. So that's funny. It's a great question. Also, you've already put a lot of players who might have been on the fence about coming in this year or not through the ringer, and they're all going through the ringer. Everyone in the NFL, everyone in America, so I'm not crying crocodile tears for the poor NFL players, but if you start saying we're going to get rid of Steph Gilmore for a third and Joe Tooney for a fifth, the players are going to say, what are we here for then? Well, we're not competing for championships and we're just smashing into people every Sunday and getting our noses swabbed. Those are things that they have to weigh, right, Dale? To me.
Well, you got guys in your locker room who are not going to take kindly to it, that's for sure. The ones who are still here.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, that was actually one of my takes before this college football even started, because remember they were really on the fence about what they should do and when the if they were going to play and all that other stuff. And there was some criticism of the Seahawks for giving up as much as they did for Jamal Adams. And I said, I would trade all my picks. If I was a contender, I would get out of this draft and get established players. And guess what, though? The Patriots aren't a contender, unfortunately. So I don't really see the need for them to trade all their picks in a draft like this. Tom, I know we talked last week about whether the Niners game was a must win, and you were quick to point out, no, it's the Buffalo game. The Buffalo game is a must win. How on earth can this offense look better than it did the last 2 weeks? Because it's been a bizarre season where we actually have seen Cam Newton move the ball. We saw him run it in week one. We saw him pass it in week two. But the last 2 weeks, any possible offensive possession that they've had looks difficult, looks so disjointed. Anything you think to get back on track this week?
Yeah, don't turn it over. And that's stupidly simple, but that's the fact. Against Denver, it really started with Denver, what I really consider to be Cam's yips. He dropped down, tried to flip it out there. It got picked by Sylvester Williams. And since then, he has been hesitant. He has held the ball. He has stood in the pocket and got smashed so that he rolled up on Jermaine Illuminor. He threw it into a team meeting with N'Keal Harry. He one bounced it to Damir Bird. He overthrew Damir Bird. He threw picks off Edelman's hands. Don't turn it over.
Yeah.
Just get it to Jake and see if you can hold him down defensively. I hate to say that. There were times that's what the Patriots' 2019 offense felt like. Just get it to Jake. Just get it to Jake and play field position.
So, and I'm not laughing because I think it's stupid. I'm laughing because the offensive attack now is make sure you're in position to punt. The 2020 Patriots.
And that was the 2019 Patriots.
Yeah, it was a bit. Yeah, you're right. It was a bit. Yikes.
Yeah, absolutely brutal. But hey, there's
doesn't that keep you in the game?
The answer is yes. And then I think this week, too.
As a fan, no.
Well, no, it's a tough watch. It's a tough watch. But then I think on the flip side, too, Tom, you're hoping that the opposite is true for Buffalo and that it's Josh Allen that throws a pick. And I know he's improved, but that's still in him. Like, he's still going to throw some bad picks, maybe give you a short field. And now you can have a different type of kick. You can have a 3-point kick instead of just a punt.
Well, at least he missed two last week.
And then what are you going to do with it? Well, right. But that's the thing is the Patriots have had five scoring drives of more than 50 yards and in the last two games.
Well, I thought you were going to say 3 years.
No. But they're not going anywhere with the ball.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
Well, this has been a visit that's been one big bucket of suck, isn't
it? Super good time, Tom.
Yeah, I remember when you told me, Tom, at the Andruzzi Foundation Golf Tournament, we were talking about this team, and you said, "Here's my problem, Fitzy. I just don't know how this team's going to get to 20 every week." And I laughed.
And I had a good laugh.
It was a bit of a chortle. Yeah. And now here I am just going, damn it, Curran, you were right.
20, they that'd be great. Imagine 20 points. Imagine.
Oh, my God.
That would be great.
Get Tom, it to Jake.
Get it to Jake. Carl. Oh.
Tom, right, we appreciate the time as always. We'll see you next time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.